I'm going to call this meeting to order at 7:32 PM. And I'm going to appoint Tom Crockett for Jim Cropley. And I'd also like to I'd like to add 7D under new business. And that's going to hybrid in-person and Zoom meetings in the new year. Do I need a motion for that?
To add it to the agenda for discussion, I would, or by consensus, one or the other.
Okay, is there any objection from the members to adding that item?
I don't see any.
Seeing none, we will add it.
And I'm just going to ask if one of the people that just joined us is Jim Cropley. And so if not, can the person who is 860-938-9055 identify yourself, please? Or not? how about 860-303-1777?
Yes, Carol Pardes-Yoko.
Thank you. Can you spell your last name for me, please?
P-A-R-D-A hyphen Z-I-O-L-K-O.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Mr. Chairman, you're all set.
Okay, the next item is the approval of minutes for the November 9th, 2022 meeting.
Move to accept the minutes.
Motion Tom Crockett.
I'll second the meetings.
Second Rodney Fournier. Are there any changes or corrections?
I don't see any hands up.
Yes. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye.
Aye.
Item number three, residents forum. Is there any resident of the town of Bolton who wants to speak on a matter which is not on the agenda?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Andrew Latigum. Unfortunately, my wife's name is on the Zoom link here.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay though?
Yes, you may speak now.
Okay. Yeah, I spoke at the last meeting, and I just wanted to speak under this the resident forum here just to introduce myself once again. As my wife is me and my wife Andrew and Alicia Latiga, we currently own the Lindale Farms and the property across the street that has the residential land there on Boston Turnpike and Route 44. And during the last meeting, I just wanted to let everybody know that we did, in fact, win two of the cannabis licenses. There was almost 40,000 applications that were submitted for the 54 licenses that were available. And we were the fortunate winners of two of those licenses. And we'll be looking to either, talk with the town of Coventry and Bolton about, seeing about if we can get one of these licenses associated or one of these businesses, on one of the properties that we have. And in Coventry, Coventry and Bolton. And I just wanted to, lend my information and any questions that the town may has. I know they're under a moratorium right now, and they're looking at different types of rules and regulations that they're looking to implement in town. And, I'd like to see if there's an ability that we could work together and I could present some of the ideas and some of the thoughts people have approached me on. With some of my properties and with the cannabis use and other uses that involve different types of commercial businesses. So I have had some interest in some of my properties, and you know, I'd like to at some point in the future, you know, share some of that and sit down with Patrice and some of the other members of Bolton to kind of go over some of the things to see if we might be able to attract some new commercial industry to the area. I do have, you know, some of our properties do come with some unique manufacturing permits and abilities. And, you know, some of these things I would like to at some point in time, you know, just, you know, talk a little further with, you know, at another time in regards to some of the cannabis uses that are being proposed and some of the uses the town may be looking to attract. I am direct with the state of Connecticut and their Cannabis Council, you know, as part of one of the licensee holders. And I'm just looking for to help answer any questions or if there's any type of information that you want me to gather. I'm happy to do so just to kind of educate, you know, the town on what's to come and what's going on. I'm currently working with Coventry and their zoning rules and regulations and where they would like to put some of their businesses in town. And once again, I just, you know, would like to, you know, share whatever information I can and try to be as helpful as I can moving forward with this process. And there is a lot of excitement right now. And one of the local cannabis companies in Willimantic just gave a presentation at our last meeting and said that within one month's time, they had over 1,400 job applications for all the various cannabis positions that they're looking for. And there's just a lot of excitement in this area. And there's a lot of money and big businesses that are looking to find locations and towns that are willing to partake in these businesses. And it might be a very good opportunity for Bolton to consider some of the things that might be able to come about that people are looking for. And I think that you guys have a couple of areas in town on 44 that may be, you know, suited for some of these things. And I'd like to be able to try to help if I can, you know, lead people in the right direction and bring the right type of investors and people that that are looking to invest in a community like Bolton and in Coventry. And the last thing that I would have to say too is I had a chance last week or when they did the grand opening over at the All Town Fresh. And I had a chance to go in one of the first days before you did the ribbon cutting. And I met with some of the people just to, you know, to see the store and see the, you know, talk with some of the other people that are working there. And I had a chance to also come back on two separate occasions to meet with some of the district managers and the people that are in charge of the store and opening up that location. And I just wanted to say that that All Town Fresh is a beautiful building. And it's a very, very nice job of what Bolton did and the development that they brought to town. And developments like that are things that I would love to see Bolton do a lot more of. And I just wanted to say congratulations on that one. And it's a really, really unique business and idea. And I think it suits Bolton very, very well. And I just wanted to commend you guys for that as well.
Mr. Lodiga, we will be discussing some of the specifics of cannabis regulations. And once we've done that, I will invite you, if you have any comments on what we've talked about, to do that. Our regulations provide for informal discussion about specific ideas on sites, but you need a sketch plan in order to do that. If you've got a surveyor, that's great, but if you don't have a surveyor, you can download property maps from the GIS. You can download the zoning regulations, put your setbacks on there, just come up with a little sketch plan, and then you can talk with the staff. And then if the staff thinks they need, you should come to the commission, you can certainly do that. Thank you for speaking with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tom.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak under residence forum?
I don't see anyone.
Seeing none, we will move on to staff reports.
I don't have much outside of what's been on the agenda. We've been working on those items. We are looking at something that's not on the agenda would be some regulations regarding senior housing, which when we get it together a little bit better, we'll bring them forward to you, along with some other regulation amendments that may need to be made, which we'll talk about in a little bit. I don't know, Mike, there's Mike.
Mike.
Yeah, as Patrice mentioned, like we've been working on the cannabis regs, and I've been doing obviously permit reviews and working to close out some of the ongoing zoning violations. And there's been some new stuff that has come up. And I think, as I mentioned the last meeting, working with actually Danielle, Danielle actually did the lion's share of the work of fixing some issues that we'd identified and come up with solutions for related to the permitting system. To try to fix the fact that we've got permits spread across multiple instances of the same address. As I mentioned before, it's kind of frustrating for a lot of people when they try to submit things. And we've been putting a lot of effort into streamlining that application process and making the forms easier to use, so we're capturing information we need and not things that we don't, just to sort of make the office more accessible. So those are probably the lion's share of what we've been working on.
And you can thank Danielle for us.
I sure will.
Okay, then we can move on to item number 5, which is a continuation of a public hearing on the modification of special permit application for gas station convenience store, 271 Hop River Road, Nathaniel Fleming, number PL-22-8. And I see Nathaniel Fleming here.
Good evening. This is Greg Pettis. I'll be representing Nathaniel and Asif Choudhury, the owner of the property. I guess we're here. We continued last month to get an opinion from the town attorney regarding the act concerning bonding and so forth for private construction on private property. So I think that's where we left off. Everything else, I think we satisfied all of staff's comments, and it's just a matter of coming to an agreement on the bonding.
Okay, Patrice, we've received an opinion from the town attorney. Would you want to talk about that?
Sure. The town attorney's opinion. We asked basically the town attorney to review find what I asked him. We asked him to look at the two public acts that Greg and Nathaniel submitted to us at the last meeting, and he did that. He is basically saying that he would agree that what the commission can ask for as far as bonding is concerned would be bonding things that would be in control, in the town's control, once the project was completed. Some of those things, for example, would be, you know, drainage, trails, you know, if there was something that was left to the town for parking or whatever, those things you can bond for. If they remain private after they're done, then he would agree that bonding would not be required for that. And how you control the project then is the CO does not, or the completion, certificate of completion or certificate of occupancy would not be given until all the items that were asked for in the plans and the development were completed. So that's how, as if the bond were to work that way, it would be that holds the developer to completing the site. With regard to the fact that we have a regulation, how could the commission, if they wanted to take action on this application tonight without including that bond, how could they do that? And he's basically told me that because of his review of the statute and the regulations, that it would be under advisement of the town attorney that you would not have to ask for that bond. However, you still can and should ask for the erosion and sediment control bond, which was part of that bond. So we did go back and sort through that and have come to a figure of just for erosion and sediment control and the contingency of $9,784.60. So that bond would be, and I would think that the applicant would agree that that's fine to bond that. That would actually have to be cash bond because it's under $20,000. And by the regulations, that's the requirement. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted me to touch on, Tom, on that, or if the applicant has questions.
Just to mention that the communications had been done under attorney-client privilege. I have no problem with giving both letters to the applicant, and I just wondered what the other members of the commission thought about that. I think you've received the. I think you also received them.
No problem.
Anyone have an objection?
I don't see any.
I don't see any objection. So you can share that with the applicant.
Will do.
That wasn't part of the agenda packet, though, right? That was something that you said.
That was set separately. Yep.
Okay.
The only other thing I caught after going back through what we had asked for is there needs to be signature blocks that put on each of the plan pages so that if they do make that approval, they have something to sign for you so you can file it.
Okay, so when we make the motion, we should add that to the...
Yeah, it's in there. So basically... It is, yeah. It's sort of the standard. I don't think there were anything else that wasn't sort of part of our standard thing. We are not approving signs as part of this application. That's a separate, that would have to be a separate application going through the zoning officer. There was a condition about because the property was undergoing remediation, the water system shall be provided with treatment to remove the potential remediation contaminants. System water will be tested for those contaminants pursuant to a remediation plan and results provided to Connecticut DPH and Eastern Highlands Health District. I think you were aware of that already, Greg and Nathaniel. Yeah, okay. And then other than that, the plans had addressed everything on the staff level that I know of. I just looked to Mike for that not as well, but we've talked with Joe Dillon, the town engineer, as well.
Are there any other questions from the commission members?
Nope, I'm good.
I just had a quick question. Should we check with Attorney Barger if he minds and we give the information to
It's actually the Planning and Zoning Commission's decision, Tom.
It's our decision. Okay. I don't think he'd mind, by the way.
No, I don't either.
And is there any member of the public that would like to speak about this application?
I don't see anyone.
I don't see any. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Move Tom Crockett. I'll second. Okay, so we have a motion to close the public hearing, and this time I will call the roll. Arlene?
Aye.
Tom Robbins?
Aye.
Tom Crockett?
Aye.
Jeff Scala?
Aye.
Rodney Fournier.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Okay, so we're now moving on to number six, old business discussion, possible decision, modification of special permit application for gas station convenience store 271 Hop River Road, Nathaniel Fleming, number PL-22-8. Does anyone have a motion?
She has all the bases covered in this letter. It's fine to me.
Okay, I'll read the motion then. I make a motion to approve Nathaniel Fleming's modification of a special permit application for a gas station convenience store with drive-through window at 271 Hop River Road, application number PL-22-8, in accordance with the application and plans submitted as Planning and Zoning Submission, 271 Hop River Road, proposed convenience store, 271 Hop River Road, Bolton, Connecticut, 11 sheets, dated August 11th, 2022, revised through 11-2-22, elevation plans dated 8-17-22, which is conditioned on the following. One, a copy of any required submission to the Connecticut Department of Transportation shall be submitted to the Land Use Department. Two, a signature block for approval by the commission and date of signing shall be placed on each page of the plans. Three, the approval letter with conditions shall be placed on the Mylars to be recorded in the office of the town clerk. Four, all appropriate seals and signatures of the design professionals for this plan shall be placed on the plans before recording. Five, this approval is subject to compliance with any comments or requirements of the State Department of Public Health, Eastern Highlands Health District, Fire Marshal, the Town Engineer, and Inland Wetlands Commission. Six, an erosion and sedimentation control bond, including contingency in the amount of $9,784.60, shall be posted as part of the permit process prior to any commencement of work on the site. Seven, signs are not part of this decision. Any proposed signage or menu signboard will need separate permit applications and approvals from the zoning enforcement officer. Eight, since the property is undergoing remediation, the water system shall be provided with treatment to remove those potential remediation contaminants, and the system water will be tested for those contaminants pursuant to the remediation plan, and results shall be provided to the Connecticut Department of Public Health and the Eastern Highlands Health District. This approval shall be binding to the applicant, landowner, and their successors and assigns. Nine, prior to the issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance, final grading, stabilization, and seeding shall be in place or adequate bond filed with the town. 10. Prior to the issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance, one electronic PDF and paper copy of the final as-built survey showing structures, pins, driveway parking, final floor elevations, and spot grades shall be submitted. 11. Additional erosion and sedimentation controls may be required by town staff as necessitated by field conditions. 12, by acceptance of this approval and its conditions, the applicant, owner, and or their successors and assigns acknowledge the right of town staff to periodically enter upon the subject property for the purpose of determining compliance with the terms of this approval. The Planning and Zoning Commission finds with these conditions the plan meets the requirements of the Bolton zoning regulations. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Is there any further discussion?
On number one, we asking for a copy of submissions. Do we want a copy of any approvals by the DOT?
Sure.
So I would just modify that first sentence to read a copy of the required submissions and approvals.
I accept that amendment.
That's all.
I don't see any members of the commission with further discussion. I'll call the roll. Arlene?
Aye.
Tom Robbins?
Aye.
Tom Crockett?
Aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
Rodney?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and we wish you the best of luck with your endeavors.
Thank you.
We'll move on to item number 7, new business, informal discussion. potential nonprofit use of 180 West Street, Peter DeMolly Design Professionals Incorporated. And yes, I see Peter here.
Yes, good evening, Chairman Manning and members of the commission. For your record, I'm Peter DeMolly, president of Design Professionals with offices in South Windsor, Connecticut. We're a 19-person development consulting practice, civil engineering, landscape architecture, urban planning, and land surveying. And we are representing Highland Meeting Room with respect to this property, 180 West Street, Route 85, on the east side of the street, northerly of School Road. You will know it as the former Our Place restaurant, which has been vacant for, I believe, it's 2 years, since March of 2020, is my understanding. We're here for a couple of reasons, but let me first get into this particular location. And may I share? May I have permission to share?
Yes, you should be able to.
Okay. And I'd like to share this. And can you see this? The aerial?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, what am I doing wrong here? All right, well, maybe that won't work.
Is your aerial red lined or something, or can I just put up an aerial for you?
Yeah, that'd be fine. It's just an aerial.
Like a Google map?
It's actually from your I believe it's from your GIS. It has all the property names. Okay. All right, so.
I can do that.
I just had a quick question before we started.
Sure.
This is an R1 zone, according to the GIS information.
And it's actually an RMUZ zone.
Also, this is wrong on here.
Yeah, the assessors.
Okay, I didn't know they'd done paperwork on the website. That was on the way. Okay, I just wondered if it was the planning and zoning. I mean, Zoning Board of Appeals. Okay.
Incidentally, with me tonight is Jerry Fossey and James Wasky. They're both on. I believe saw them earlier. Yes. And they're members of Highland Meeting Room. So the subject property is in the neighborhood business zone, even though it's indicated on the assessor's maps and GIS as R1. And immediately adjacent to it on the south side is the R1 zone, which is, of course, a single family residential zone predominantly, allows other uses such as houses of worship and civic uses. And our client, Highland Meeting Room, there of 133 Highland Street, is a faith-based nonprofit organization. And they have a pending offer to acquire 180 West Street for a satellite facility, not for their primary use, primary tenancy, but for a satellite type facility. And they have that pending. The site is about an acre in size, just over an acre in size, about 48,000 square feet. It features that restaurant that I mentioned, Our Place, which had seating for 30, a full commercial kitchen, which is of interest to this group, lavatories, an office, parking, about 5 space out front, 13 to the rear, or 18 total. The septic system was installed in 2015. Town staff, we met with them back on December 6th, and they suggested, urged us to contact Town Sanitarian at Eastern Highlands. We did contact Thad, indicated that the septic system has capacity for 900 gallons, which is plenty for what we would propose to do as a nonprofit organization for assembly. And also the state well permit, also the known as the public water system permit, is deactivated right now, but could be reactivated without much trouble. And he says the sanitarian Thad says he has everything he needs to go further if the commission allows us to go forward. So as I indicated, we met with the town staff, that's Patrice and Mike, who are both of whom are on tonight. And the use is basically conversion of the restaurant to use that's occupied on a part-time basis by a faith-based nonprofit organization for assembly purposes, and also on a part-time basis to prepare, assemble, and package items to assist individuals or groups in a time of need for off-site distribution. Not for sale or anything, just to help out these groups in a time of crisis, in a time of need, and as requested. This use would be, we think, very compatible with the character of the neighborhood. They're not proposing any large gatherings. As I said, it's a satellite facility. So this group, this faith-based group, would be having some assembly there in this facility. I think is appropriately sized. It's not their entire group would come over, just parts of their group. Particular people reside in the immediate area, Bolton, Glastonbury area, and they would assemble there periodically. And it's only on a part-time basis. No large activities such as weddings or funerals or anything of that nature would occur here. It's just gatherings of their members. So it is a satellite facility. Our clients have begun to even reach out to neighbors about what they're proposing to do. The neighborhood business zone, most of you are quite familiar with, section 8, uppercase B, point 2, lowercase b, lists some special permit uses. It's on page 8-5 of your regulations, such as grocery stores, professional offices, personal business services, restaurants, that's full service or takeout, child care centers and the like. So there's a list of 17 items there. The R1 zone that abuts it, as I mentioned, allows typical residential, some churches and other civic organizations such as libraries and the like. The town staff, when we met with them, agreed with us, Jerry and James and myself, that really the idea was perhaps to, instead of going, creating some new zone change or what have you, that we'd look at preserving the underlying zone. So perhaps maybe at some time, if this organization is Highland Meeting Room is no longer interested in having their assembling at this particular location, that it could be available for another use, such as another restaurant. It's been sitting for a while. No one's interested at this time, but perhaps that could happen in the future. So preserve it for future commercial type uses. But in the interim, use it for this particular use. So not going to it for a zone change per se to the R1 zone, abutting R1 zone, for example, or to another zone. So leave it in the neighborhood business zone. So we're really thinking about three approaches, and perhaps you could put on the screen, Patrice, what I submitted, the proposed zoning text amendment page.
No, that's not it. Sorry. Nope. Thought it was. It is not. Here it is. Okay.
So this proposal is really, I think there, as we discussed with town staff, there really are three options here for you. One would be just simply for you to consider that it's a permitted use by special permit in accordance with that section that we just reviewed and the other requirements of the neighborhood business zone, any applicable provisions of these regulations. So that's one option you have. If you think that what we described as a use, which is assembly for a small number of people on a part-time basis, during the course of a week, and then also for their what we call it, they call the rapid relief team, which is where they assemble kits, I guess you could call them, or packages for groups that are in need or request it. For example, when the two police officers in Bristol succumbed, were murdered, there was a large memorial gathering over at Rensselaer Field. And the state police reached out to them if they could provide water and nutritional items for the officers and others who are attending that large gathering with thousands of people. This group, Highland Meeting Room, their rapid relief team within their group, actually got together on a very quick basis and assembled all these kits for the attendees for that memorial service. They also do that for other purposes, such as when there's a crisis from a hurricane, fires, whatever, when people need food or things of that nature, they participate in that regard. and things of that nature. So they're there to really help out the community and supporting communities in need. So they do that. So we're proposing that one thing you could do is say, we think it's close enough to what we have your 17 items in the neighborhood business zone and special permit use. And it's close enough to that. And you say, yeah, go ahead and apply for a special permit. That's one way of looking at it. Second option on the page, in the middle of the page, we suggest perhaps you could, and I'll read it to you, add an 18th category, 18th use, which would read other uses and use categories may be approved by the Planning Zoning Commission as a special permit use. When the commission determines said use and use categories to be substantially similar to the uses and use categories permitted above with respect to their type of business, intensity of use or services rendered, or as determined by the commission to meet the purpose of section 8B1 and requirements of section 8B2, including compatibility with the character of the neighborhood. So you would adopt, if you chose to, you could adopt this particular text amendment, adding item 18 to uses in neighborhood business zone. So you could permit something that's you believe to be similar in low intensity type use. And then the third option would be to adopt at the bottom of the page, we indicate a new item 18 in lieu of the other one I just read that reads on a lot which has been previously developed with a building and parking lot for one of the above uses may be converted to a use occupied on a part-time basis by a faith-based nonprofit organization for assembly purposes and also on a part-time basis prepare, assemble, and package items to assist individuals or groups in a time of need for off-site distribution. Said use shall be compatible with the character of the neighborhood. So we thought that might be a third way of approaching this to allow Highland Meeting Room to go forward with their proposal, which is to create a satellite facility on their site. So their facility in Manchester, Maine, it would still remain their main building. They have about seating for about 150 people, 52 parking spaces for their modest sized group. And that's used throughout the week as needed. But they do break into smaller groups. They assemble in smaller groups and therein lies their problem. Their facility that they have right now doesn't have the capacity for their smaller groups to meet separately. So they would like to acquire this property so that part of their membership can go to this Bolton facility and gather periodically. They have their main meetings would still remain at the facility in Manchester on Highland Street, but it would be, but they would break out periodically, go to this facility. And it's really on a part-time basis and a small number of times during the course of the week because they just don't have the capacity at their existing facility. And they would also have their, what they call the rapid relief team, where they would be assembling things in need to help out people in need, where there's a natural disaster, a war, there's an assembly of people where they were sought out to help them, such as provide beverages and food. There's a need for people in terms of food insecurity and that type of thing. So they would periodically, only on an as-needed basis, get together and create these packages or kits for distribution for free to people in need, to groups in need offsite. They do that's part of their faith. So that's what we're proposing. Love to hear from you. And thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you informally with respect to this. And again, Jerry and James are on this Zoom meeting, are attending it. And if you have any questions with respect to their particular organization or how they want to use this building, they're available.
Thank you. My first response is that preparing, assembling, and package items falls under our definition of light manufacturing, which is a use permitted by special permit in this zone.
Okay.
So I don't think we would need a change to the regulations in order to permit that.
Okay.
And
we also actually, Tom, felt from a staff level, and Mike, jump in if you think I'm wrong here, but it's a restaurant now, And if they're packaging food to go out, it's still sort of serving a restaurant need as if they were to cater. I'm sure when Jack and Louisa were there, you could order out and they would prepare it and it would go out. But anyway, we felt that was close for that, but just to let you know that.
And the other thing that they want to do is to assemble like a small prayer group or something like that. Is that have I understand that correctly?
Could you repeat that, like a small what?
A prayer group.
Yeah, that's very similar to what they're doing. That's correct. Observing their faith, which is prayer and reading the Bible and maybe some communion, sometimes stuff like that. But again, their main activities are done even during the course of that day, typically at their main facility in Manchester.
They said 30 people for a restaurant, which is which is fewer than the building code would call assembly. That's 15 square feet per person. Is there a chance that you'd have more than that or more than 50?
My understanding is no, they would definitely not have more than 50 there.
Well, then it wouldn't be considered an assembly occupancy. It would be considered a business occupancy for the purpose of the code, which is one of the things that's my understanding is that we permit there. Let me just look at the regulations again.
Well, you say business office.
Yeah.
And personal business services.
Yeah, I think that would fall, what they're planning to do would fall under personal business services.
Okay.
I don't think there's a need for a change of regulations. That's just my opinion. The other members,
right?
Of
and I just this is an speak this on is this. An this is an informal discussion. So that's the it's informal. So let's just so you do feel that it would fall under those two items to take care of what they're thinking about doing, Tom. Then,
Jeff, I see you're unmuted.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I just thought you might want to talk.
Am I making too much?
No, Rodney's unmuted. Would the parking change? Would they come in one car versus whatever they expect from a restaurant? And two, would the tax status change? Would it go to a nonprofit?
If I may answer,
yeah,
that first, they're not planning any site improvements. The building, as is the site. Exterior site, so the parking would remain at 18 spaces as I've counted them. That's adequate for what they want. So they'll have a family will come over there. Individuals may come over, but they believe that 18 spaces would be more than adequate for what they want to do. So they feel that would be, with respect to parking, that would be fine. What was your second question?
Well, I don't know if it's in more.
Oh, the taxes. They are a nonprofit. I don't believe they're paying taxes in Manchester. I think they would qualify for owning it. I think they would not pay taxes in Bolton. I believe that would be the case.
Okay.
No.
That is correct. Peter, James Wosky here, but it is 501c3.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
I'm just interested why you're using the term part-time here a couple times in your description. Part-time does.
Yeah,
they could use it quite a bit, right? I mean, we're not going to be closed at certain times, or this is just.
Yeah, the intention is not to use it a lot. The intention during the course of the week is to use it far less than what their existing facility is in Manchester. Uses a satellite for when they break out into smaller groups. And also, because it has this wonderful commercial kitchen, they could assemble the kits for, as I said, for the state police, the memorial service they had over Rensselaer Field, or for responding to crises, their members could go over to this facility on an as-needed basis and prepare some kits for supporting people in crisis or helping out people at memorial services, or whatever, and all out off-site and all donated, never sold. That type of thing. And that would be a great place where they just gather, get the kids together as groups do, as nonprofits, faith-based nonprofits and other nonprofits do, get together and help out. And then they, as soon as they get the kids together, they load them up, distribute them off-site, and they're gone. So they feel it small use, part-time. So they, it's not like like in Manchester, that they will use it more days of the week as a typical nonprofit organization would. This is really just a satellite facility for less use than the existing facility. It's just really just part-time. Maybe an evening, one evening a week is what I understand from James and Jerry, and also on Sundays, for part of the time on Sundays. And not the full time that their group meets on Sundays. It's just for part of it when they break out for smaller sessions. That's the purpose of it. So. That's why we said part-time.
What's their primary area of service?
Maybe James or Jerry could respond to that.
Is it the Harford County, Talon County?
Yeah, I can speak to that. This is Jerry. It's for us, it's really as far as we can reach here. We've gone as far as, I think it's New Hartford to the west. We go as far as probably cover Connecticut, maybe a little bit into Mass, down south to the coast, to the shore from this location. The organization itself does a lot more than that, but as far as us in this location, that's what we do.
Okay, thank you.
I just had another quick question. Do you foresee anybody living in this building? It's a pretty good sized building. I didn't realize it was that large, but if the assessor's card's right on this one, 2,500 square feet plus a full basement, or is it just going to be vacant most of the time?
It's going to be vacant most of the week, and there will be no one residing there. I know it used to be, before it's converted to a restaurant, it used to be a house with a garage. Right.
And it looks like it's right. Yeah
there's no intention of that whatsoever, no residency there. And again, it's going to be vacant most of the week. They need it for overflow because their facility they can't break out into smaller groups, and also for the kitchen so they can respond to crises as needed wherever they occur.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Steph has a pretty good idea of what the board is thinking.
Yeah, the board is in agreement. It sounds like you feel it might fit under number 7, personal and business services. Number 17, light manufacturing. Maybe they would want to ask for both of those items. Maybe not necessarily a restaurant if you feel that it's, they're not really selling the food, so it's really more of a, like you said, Tom, a manufacturing thing where they're putting stuff together to ship it out or get it out, I guess, you know, ship it maybe.
Is this something we should run by the town attorney?
It's our regulations. I guess we can interpret them the way we want.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're interpreting some things. I mean, just want to get it right.
Hey folks, I apologize that I'm coming in on the phone. This is Jeremy Flick here. Usually I like to be online, but I'm unfortunately stuck working. So this is just going to be for food production and distribution. It's not going to be, nobody's going to be going on site to receive anything. It's just going to be a production facility.
That's correct.
That's the way that I'm hearing this, correct?
That's absolutely correct. Yes, sir.
I mean, that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's nothing else.
You feel how you have your answer, Peter, or your direction?
Yes, Patrice, we requested an opportunity to be placed on your agenda for an informal discussion to get a read from the commission whether or not you thought this appropriate, which avenue of the three you thought was appropriate. And I think it ended up being that the commission is interpreting that we fit into the existing categories, no need for a zoning text amendment, no need for a zone change to another zoning district, that we would therefore have to apply to you for a special permit use in accordance with your zoning regulations. And our next step would, before we can, my clients can acquire the property, would be to do so, to apply for the special permit to the commission. At which time you'd make a formal decision.
I think you have a good understanding. Okay.
And your and town staff were very helpful. We met with them the other day on December 6th, Mike and Patrice. We really appreciate their candidness with us and their assistance in that regard.
I would just echo that, Peter, Patrice, and Mike, both very helpful, and appreciate the commission's time to look at it. The unique kind of the building having the kind of open area and this kitchen makes it a very unique fit for our needs, and just appreciate everyone's help on it very much.
Yeah, same here. Thank you very much for that. And we look forward to being able to help out the Bolton local town needs as well. When not that we're looking for a crisis, but you know, helping out the you know, fire departments and so on, that's what we're here for. So
Okay, as we move on to item 7B, election of officers, welcome to Stephen Clark, our alternate. Let's see. So at this point, I'm gonna turn the chair over to Patrice while we elect a chairman.
You're gonna turn it over to me?
Yeah.
Okay, I-
Looking for nominations?
Sure. Go ahead, Rodney.
I nominate Tom Manning for chairman.
I second.
Beat me to it.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any other nominations? You want to close the nominations and cast one ballot? Is that how you do it?
That's how I do it, yes.
All right, I'll close the nominations, and I need somebody to actually do that, right? Go ahead, Rod.
To close the nominations?
And cast a ballot.
And I'd like to cast one ballot for Tom Manning.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Anybody abstain? So it's unanimous. All right, Tom, you're back in charge.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Are there any nominations for vice chair secretary?
He's not here.
That's the best time.
I'll nominate Jeff Scala.
Nominate Rod Fournier.
Second that.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. So we have nominated Jeff Scala and Rodney Fournier.
Anybody else? You're not going to stick Jim with him.
Yeah, Jim Cropley. Absolutely. He's got to be in there. I nominate Jim Cropley.
Okay, so we now have three. Jeff Scala, Jim Cropley. Are you withdrawing, Rodney?
I'd love to, yes.
Okay, you can. All right, we have two nominations. Jeff Scala and Jim Cropley.
Jim isn't here to defend himself, so I think we should go with Jeff, if Jeff is willing.
I'm willing.
I don't know if it works that way, but.
I don't think he was here last time either, not for nothing, but. Oh, no, he was. He was, Arlene.
He was. Okay.
Yeah. He was.
All right, then I'm gonna call for a vote. Arlene?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Tom Crockett?
Jim Cropley.
Rodney?
Cropley.
Jeremy?
Cropley.
And I vote for Jim Cropley.
You've got Tom Robbins.
And Tom Robbins.
Jim Cropley.
Thank you. Sorry. Jeff can continue to kibitz.
No skin off my back.
And let's see. That's all we need, right? Okay. So our next discussion and possible decision is the budget, but I'd like to talk about, I'd like to switch the order and talk about the moving to hybrid in-person and Zoom. And I understand that in order to do that, we need someone to learn the OWL system. And at a previous meeting, Arlene had volunteered to do that. Are you still willing to do that, Arlene?
You're muted, Arlene.
That sounds like a job for the vice chair.
That was all just a motion face saying yes.
I already did it. I did it for so that the farm commission had somebody who could meet at. You need two people. You need somebody besides me. You have to have two members.
So Arlene, I have a question for you. Do you find if you are running the meeting that it interferes with your ability to take part in discussion?
No, because it's just like being in a virtual meeting. We don't share documents or do a lot of virtual, everything goes up on the whiteboard. And so you would need somebody who maybe has a little more experience with doing the kind of interfacing with different people from different places to answer some of your questions. But no, you just hook everything up. Instead of zooming on your computer, you hook up the OWL and the rest is done pretty easily.
Right. And I can still share, I can still do the sharing of the documents and all of that without that having to be basically what they're asking for the person to do is come in, turn the computer on, turn the whiteboard on, sign in and either start the meeting or join the meeting, one or the other. So right. If I happen to be running the meeting from here and you join the meeting, I can still post things up. I can still screen share that would then share on that big whiteboard in the room. You would still be able, I would still be able to admit people in and out of the meeting as I do now. It would run the same way. The only thing that's happening is whoever happens to be sitting in town hall would be turning the system on and off and joining the meeting. So once it's on, you really don't have anything to do that would involve you being taken away from discussion unless, you know, the power went out or something.
Right. No, it doesn't interfere with your ability to discuss anything.
So you need two people there to keep the thing going and make sure something doesn't go through?
No, I think they want two people in case one person can't make the meeting.
Oh, right. So you schedule two. And if one happens to fail to show, somebody there.
Right.
Which
makes okay. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be at all the meetings. I could, if it's not going to interfere with participating in the meeting, then I'll just.
Yeah.
I'll just learn how to do it.
I'll be number two.
Yeah.
Basically, Tom, it's just putting up your Zoom screen in the town hall and they call it the owl.
Okay.
That's basically all it is.
But they have the laptop? Or you have
they have
the laptop is there.
They have it all there.
Well, so you just turn the laptop on, turn the owl on, and you're done?
And join the meeting. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. The reason I put this first was I was thinking it might be expedient to hire somebody to do it as part under the budget, but well, could be a high school kid. Probably better be a high school kid. But okay, that doesn't seem to be a need. So I will make a motion that all our meetings in starting in 2023 be hybrid and Zoom. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
And I will call the roll, Arlene.
I'm fine with that. I have some discussion.
Do you
want to discuss before you vote then?
Okay.
Okay. So my question is, Patrice, it sounds like your preference is to stay at home. And if
no, my preference is it's whatever happens to work. So if I can be there, I'll be there. If I can't, I can still do it from home. That's the,
okay.
I just made that statement because I just want you to know that I either way, it can work either way.
Okay. My concern is that if we do this and we have people coming in, I think that it might be important to have at least some staff present. Does that make sense? I mean, I'd hate to have...
We would be present right on the screen, bigger than life, if we're not there in person.
Okay, even if somebody in person is coming in and they want to present, or you have public,
you'd still it's the camera moves to what you're doing, yeah. And if they're gonna, if you're doing hybrid, they have to give us the stuff ahead of time anyway. It still needs to be part of the packet.
Okay, I'm just trying to think how.
You don't want to be the only one there, and somebody comes in with a big packet of stuff and says, "Here."
Yeah.
That would be confusing.
I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Arlene, so. I think since we're going to have applications, I think if there was anything that we wanted staff to be present, we could ask them, please be present at the meeting. I think we can handle that on a case by case.
And you also have to remember that the applications now are all digital. They have to upload their information to View Permit when they apply. We don't take the paper applications anymore. It's okay. All digital.
I'm just trying to, the Board of Selectmen meetings work out just fine on the OWLs. And we're a small commission and we're just an advisory board. So we don't make legal decisions. So the pressure's not on us to, do that via Zoom. But I think that it's nice to have the option of meeting in person. So
I agree with Arlene. I think it could be a little difficult, at least at first, because I think people will be coming to the meeting expecting to see at least the whole board or somebody from the town, but it could be a problem, I think.
I think we got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I probably got to start somewhere.
Well, if we go hybrid, then somebody's committed to being there. We can't all show up on Zoom.
I just want to jump in. The legislation provides that the commission can make this determination on a meeting by meeting basis. So you can decide based upon the items on the agenda or level of interest that one format is more appropriate. if you want to wait to go hybrid until you have a light agenda, or you want to go fully virtual because of where people will be, you can make that decision, you know, on a case-by-case basis. What we've done in some other towns is basically notate on the meeting schedule that the location and format of the meeting will be noted on the published agenda. And that way there, if something comes up, you're not boxed out because you've made this decision 12 months ahead of time.
Right. We've gone back and forth. We've had some Zoom, some in person, depending on lots of different variables.
I just think all the phone calls we get are people who don't hook into Zoom. I just see these people maybe going to the meetings, expecting somebody to be there.
Your meeting dates already note that, Mike, just so you know. The meeting schedule we presented to the town clerk already says there'll be virtual or unless otherwise notified. So you can, you know, we can, and I think it's a good idea because, you know, if you got an impending snowstorm and you don't want everybody traveling, you could say, all right, well, we're going to meet virtually tonight, or on Tuesday, whatever, or Wednesday, if you know it's coming, or you don't have to. I mean, you can make it on a case by case basis instead of saying that everything will be hybrid.
I've been virtual on a Lekman's meeting.
Tom, can you? I think it's Tom. Tom, can you just mute yourself when you're Tom Crockett? Can you just mute yourself when you're not talking, and then unmute yourself when you want to talk, please? There's some feedback.
For me?
Yes, please. Thank you. Is that? I don't know if I can do it for you.
Let's see. Mute. Yeah. I have background music.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Now, all right, go ahead, Roddy.
I've actually been on a virtual meeting with the selectmen and showed up and watched myself. So you can go both.
I mean, Mr. Chairman, you could basically—
All right, rather than I'll withdraw my motion and instead ask if it's okay if we have an in-person meeting in January pending a weather event.
A hybrid meeting in January?
Hybrid meeting, right.
I make a motion we have a in-person meeting.
I would just do it by consensus. I would say.
Is there any objection to having a hybrid meeting in January?
What I would say is maybe let's let the chairman make those decisions. If everybody's okay, he's the chairman. And when I send him the agenda the Thursday before the week and he's approving it, he can say, we're going to make this one hybrid. We're going to make this one all in person. Unless, Tom, you think that's too much for you to, I think you can handle it.
Well, I know that I would love to see all of everybody's smiling faces.
Says the guy who his phone's in.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, I'm on a roof right now watching a crane lift heavy equipment, so.
Okay, I think that's the way we will handle it unless there's an objection.
Not from me.
Okay. So then we can proceed to the budget. And there doesn't seem to be very much budget.
How much was
you last- want me to? I'm sorry. Do you want me to put it up on the screen, or does everybody have it in front of them, or any discussion?
I have it. But
screen, please.
Okay. See if I can make it a little smaller so it fits.
Bring that over to T2 and No, disconnect with it, please.
How is that? Does that, can everybody see it?
Yeah, that looks good.
Yep, that's good.
So your appropriation for this year is this column. This is what you're working with, total of $4,250. These are the actual expenditures through November 21st, so not a half a year yet. Some of these items we don't expend till the toward the end of the year. And then this is the draft request in the blue column for a little less, $4,205.
What's the calendar year on this? July to July?
July 1st to June 30th, right.
Okay.
Okay, now have, we have to have some professional training. Is that mandated now in this coming year?
Yes, we had appropriated, which will run through June 30th, 2023, $640. So some of that might be used there. And then we've asked for an additional $500 for the next year after that. And Mike, I understand that some training may even be offered for little to no cost as well for certain things.
Yeah, they're, so I believe it was CCM. It's going to be putting together a statewide calendar of trainings that'll be available. And a lot of folks are recording stuff that's happening now so people can just watch after the fact and sort of obtain the credits. So yeah, I don't think it'll be a budgetary issue.
And it's training. I'm trying to remember, how often does each commissioner need to get trained? Every 3 years?
I don't remember if it's two or three years, but it's 4 hours.
Right.
Okay, and it looks like in the first row, other payroll, we did have a year when that it got up to $1,000. So that looks like a good number for this year. Professional training, that looks like a good number. Advertising. Are we going to get up to that number this year?
Well, we're at almost $700 and we aren't even half a year yet.
Okay.
And I know you've got the cannabis hearing. We'll have a couple other, probably now going to have to change the regulations for the site improvement bonds. There may be other things, you know, what you want to do, but I'm sure we'll have other applications. I just feel like, you know, based on this, I tried to do this through using a formula.
Okay.
And this is what I come up with. So that's where we've put it. I actually had Danielle look at this too, because she's the one that pays the legal bills and knows what it costs. And she felt that was fair.
And it looks like on line 56120, we have had actual expenditures go over $900. So I think $900 is a good figure. Same thing with dues and fees that went to $190 in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have explained down below here that, you know, the budget flexes based on the activity. Less activity, less budget, more activity, more budget. So we just, you know, we just don't ever know. We can sometimes predict some things, like, you know, last year we knew Bolton Vet was coming in and we knew Dollar General was coming. So, you know, you can anticipate some of this, but not all of it.
So if we go in, we have to kick in each one of us to
take it right out of your salary, Rodney.
Okay, is there any other discussion on this on the budget?
No, as long as that training number is sufficient. The advertising, is it evolving? Is it just mandated that you put it in the papers, or do you have to advertise it on some type of local email or something?
No, it still has to be in a newspaper.
And that's it?
Yes. So we've actually moved our stuff from the Journal Inquirer to the Hartford Current. Believe it or not, it was cheaper, but we do keep, you know, poking around, make sure we're not missing someplace where it could even be cheaper.
And that's just a distribution of 10,000 people or something? Or
it has to be a generally distributed paper within the town. Okay. So it really is the Journal Inquirer and the Current. There really isn't much else that would be
right.
That we'd be able to fit. You know, we have to be able to advertise on certain dates, depending that, so that you meet the statutory requirements. So sometimes like a monthly that yep. might come out, that wouldn't do it.
But nothing online yet, huh? Because the Hartford Current's online, the Journal online.
Oh, they're online, but they don't.
Doesn't constitute.
It's the statute. Yeah, no, the newspapers fight that every time we try to bring it up, which is basically yearly. We try to see if we can't get it to just being an online, even if it's on the town's website. So it's
right.
People who are interested in it would be the townspeople. So it would be on the website. You could even get a notification, you know, that a legal notice was posted to the town's website. You could even do it that way. To me, it seems like it would be more.
Oh, just a one-liner.
Yeah, it would be even more encompassing, but it's not. So
if you're interested in buying a piece of property, you'd be able to see it on the paper and look on the town's website.
All right. I move that the draft budget is presented be sent to the Board of Selectmen. Is there a second? Rodney seconds. Arlene?
Let's get her blanket.
Yeah, Colin.
Aye.
Tom Robbins?
Aye.
Jeff Scala?
Aye.
Rodney?
Aye.
Tom Crockett?
Aye.
And Jeremy?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Okay, we have.
I don't know if you had any other new business. We staff doesn't.
You have new business, other new business?
Do not, no.
Okay. Then the last item on the agenda, we have about 10 minutes if we want to meet our curfew. Ongoing discussion, regulations regarding the cultivation, sale, and distribution of adult use cannabis, Bolton PZC. Have we made this application?
Yes.
Okay.
Your application was for the moratorium to be writing regulations. And then once you have something you want to take to the public, you would be bringing it to the public for a public hearing and then a decision as to whether or not you want to go back and amend or whatever, and then taking it to decision at that point.
Okay, so we have in our packet a couple of options. One is prohibition.
Oh, are you looking at what we sent, the proposed language?
Yes, in the packet. So, one is prohibition and the other is a special permit in general business, in the general business zone. And we also have maps that show the general business zone, all the abutters that would be affected for the three pieces on Johnson Road, Route 6 and 44A, Route 44. And my opinion is that that's ready to go to the public. They're ready to go to the public hearing, but I think there's the more fundamental discussion is, do we want to forbid it? Is there anyone who would prefer to forbid?
I prefer to extend the moratorium for 6 months. I don't understand the benefit to Bolton, even if you put it in. As far as I understand, the state has very strict standards on who makes the money. So ultimately, we would end up with a cultivating farm that pays the same as a regular farm. I just don't know if there's any benefit to Bolton at all.
So okay, Rod,
I agree.
Yep.
If you think that,
right,
then I would think you would go with prohibition rather than moratorium, adding that section five, I think it's 5J, to the prohibited uses.
Right. Okay. Gotta get back that page quickly here. And as far as prohibiting, it's just all done. Okay, I agree with that.
How long could we stay in the moratorium stage? We'll see how this all works in other towns.
Well, your moratorium was initially set for 9 months, and the reason you're in a moratorium is to decide whether or not to, well, it's to promulgate regulation. So either to prohibit or to allow whatever it is you're going to allow. So under that guise, I don't think you want to stay too much longer than 12 months if you're still unsure about what you want to do.
Well, if I had to make a decision tonight, I'd vote for prohibition.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
If I had to make a decision tonight, I'd go for prohibition.
Okay, we've got three. Arlene, what do you think?
I think we need to move forward with regulations.
Okay. But we have two options. One is to prohibit, and the other is to permit.
Permit.
You want to permit. Tom Robbins, what do you think?
I'm not quite there yet. I just assume hold off for a little while longer. I'd like to find. I'm just not ready.
Well, one of the ways that you get the opinion of the public is you put it out for a public hearing, and then you find out.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, what do you think?
My only concern would be cultivation. Other than that, you know, let's push it forward as part of regulation.
Yeah, the special permit is only for retail sales. It's we're not permitting cultivation at this point, based on that chart.
Well, no, in the prohibition, I saw retail. I thought everything was prohibited.
That's right. But
go ahead.
It's the other section that's.
No, I'm
it's 10H cannabis establishments, not 5J.
I'm okay if somebody wants to come and do some kind of manufacturing, making products.
But not to sale or the cultivating?
No, I'm okay for retail sales. No cultivating.
Well, let me just give you the timeline that you have that you're under right now anyway, which would be about the first week of April, your April meeting, your moratorium would have to be, you'd have to be decided by then. So to back that out for the time to notify CROG, it's 65 days or 35 days. So you're looking at something would have to be ready to go to CROG in probably at your February meeting. You would need to make that decision. So it could go to CROG and get back, and you could set the public hearing for some time in March.
So I look at all these CROG things you sent us, and it's about 50% are got moratorium. I don't think I've seen anything.
They're under moratorium, Randy, for the same reason you are. They're all trying to create some kind of regulation, whether it's prohibition or whatever they want to regulate.
And it seems to be all the smaller towns are doing it. And the bigger towns like Manchester or wherever are just permitting it. So they seem to be moving forward because they have the commercial space for it, for the retail portion anyways. I don't know about the cultivating portion, but.
So Patrice, I have a question. If we have a public hearing, are we still in our moratorium or do we have to come out of the moratorium to hold the public hearing?
You are still in it.
Okay. I think then that while we need to get this to the public for public input, there may be a huge outcry where people, you know, just don't want it. There may be, you know, I think we need to find out what the town wants.
I agree.
Well, what about putting both options as part of the same hearing?
Could have a hearing on each if you wanted to, sure.
You couldn't have it on. You couldn't have as one hearing. You'd have to have two separate hearings.
No, Mike. How would that work? Wouldn't you have one hearing and take comments on prohibition and then take comments on the retail sale?
They'd have to do it. We'd have to advertise them and refer them as two separate applications, but the commission could choose to hear them jointly, like at the start of the meeting. We considered regs and a prohibition in Willington and ran them parallel so that if we didn't want to get to the end of the public hearing process with the assumption that everybody was going to come out against it and then find out that they didn't and they were in support and then have to start back from the beginning of the whole process, which is
that's kind of my point. If we're on our deadline for the moratorium, we don't extend it.
I would propose that you have those two hearings and then a third hearing, which would be to extend your moratorium, just in case you got into that hearing and decided that you need more time. You could then extend the moratorium at the end of it as well.
That's a good suggestion.
Or you don't have to. I mean, just you'd have the option to.
I have a question for Mike. Mike, when you had a hearing in Wellington, right?
Yep.
How many people showed up?
We discussed it over several meetings. So we actually had a hearing first on drafting the regs, and then the commission. So we adopted regulations, which were very similar to the ones before you. Subsequent to that, we approved a cannabis retail application, which met the criteria. The operator actually participated in the discussion, was very open and transparent about his intentions. And then the commission said, well, now that we've got one, you know, maybe we need to think about prohibiting it so we don't have more. And there were several people that came out against a flat prohibition for several reasons. You know, there's an obvious positive tax impact for a retail operation. 3% of all gross receipts go directly to the town. Towns around you, in this case, Coventry, Mansfield, 2 weeks ago adopted regs. Coventry is about to, believe Manchester has, Willington has, Tolland has, are allowing them. So you're effectively going to see all of this traffic and all of the use and everything else, but none of the jobs, none of the tax benefits, et cetera. And there were several people that spoke to their personal experiences, whether using it for medical purposes or other. And one of the things that was sort of discussed or litigated was this idea of illicit use and people are going to be doing things in the parking lot, et cetera, et cetera. Number one, that would basically terminate the user's license with the state. They could never permit people to purchase cannabis and use it in a parking lot. Number two, people that get marijuana illegally now will still get marijuana illegally because it is far cheaper to get it from a local dealer illegally than it is to pay a lot more for the regulated substance that the state taxes, et cetera, et cetera. We also talked to the Connecticut State Police, who had no concerns, and were provided with information from the operator who was approved, data from other operations in Massachusetts under the same business license. And the police there basically stated they had not seen an increase in calls. They did not find any increase in related calls in that area. And so based upon that, the commission moved forward and didn't adopt a flat prohibition.
You make a good argument.
I'm not making an argument. I'm just stating
information.
Okay. Well, and you don't know what your townspeople will come out and say at a public hearing, and that's why you have the public hearing. If you feel like you'd like to do, you are ready and you want to set the two in motion, I can certainly send out the CROG, send a notice to CROG, and we could do the hearing in February. That would give me, it should give me enough time, right? If I send it out.
Yeah, nope. Can't do it in March.
You do it in March.
And are they virtual?
May I make a suggestion about a public hearing being virtual? You can only talk. It's not successful. I would strongly recommend for a public hearing that you have an in-person hearing.
You should make it hybrid, Arlene, because there may be some people who can't get there.
Well, you can make it hybrid, but you need to let people know that they're going to have to wait to speak. And it's time consuming. And what I have seen happen at some meetings is the people that are virtual get left out of the conversations. You know how conversations can become a thing of their own. And if the people aren't in the room to keep their hand up, the people that are on the Zoom can spend a lot of time waiting. So whoever monitors this meeting may want to do a question from the room, a question from Zoom, a question from the room, a question from Zoom. Otherwise, the people that sit on Zoom can become, from personal experience, I have seen them feel extremely left out. So just word to the wise. I do agree it should be virtual, but I also think we should highly recommend
hybrid.
I will take that under advisement.
Yeah.
So it's a public hearing, so there shouldn't be a back and forth. It should be comment from the audience, if you want to do it back and forth like that, that's fine. But this shouldn't be it's not a give and take kind of thing.
But what I'm saying is I've been to two where the public comments have been hybrid, and those that are waiting patiently from the comfort of their own home don't get answered. So my suggestion would be to Tom, if he's running the meeting, that you carefully take a comment from the audience and take a comment from Zoom so that it's a sharing.
I agree with Arlene. I think we should have people in a queue. I think that people, if they feel strongly enough, they might feel strongly enough one way or another to up, whether it be Zoom or maybe we can figure out some sort of way to get a phone in queue system through the Zoom.
Jeremy, I can keep, if it's a hybrid meeting, we can keep log of who's coming in and who's gotten here first and all that. That's easy enough to do. Same thing with the sign up sheet at the town hall. So we can just alternate between the sign-in sheet and the sheet of the people who are on the Zoom meeting who've come in.
Patrice, if anybody, you do. I just feel, you know, I think everybody should be heard. I know people feel very strongly on both sides of the discussion. I'm going to keep my opinion out of the situation until I'm professionally asked. And obviously, I want our town residents to ultimately make the decision, and that's what we are here for.
Okay, so Patrice, if we asked you to send what you've prepared so far to CROG now, we could set the public hearing at our January meeting. I mean, for the February meeting at our January meeting.
Yes, you could do that. And I could give them the possible date of February then.
Okay, so
they do ask you when the date of the public hearing is. So I would say that it's tentatively February 8th.
Okay. Does anyone object to sending the regulations as prepared to CROG and then we'll formally set the public hearing at the at our next meeting in January. That'll be on the agenda.
So do you want me to send the prohibition, the retail as it's written, and the extension of the moratorium? Because they have to
comment. Yes.
Okay. I'll send all three.
Perfect.
All right, I hear no objection, so please do that.
Thank you. And I'll say this, if for some reason we get to our January meeting and it looks like CROG won't be back to us by February 8th, you'd have two options. One, you could set a special meeting at the end of February, or you could take it up in your March meeting, just so you know you have another meeting before you need to be out of, you need to have a decision one way or another. So okay. That will work. Timing should work well.
Okay.
Well done.
And Mr. Lottinger, you have the regulations, the proposed regulations, and you can read them and be prepared to comment on them at the public hearing.
Thank you.
Is there any correspondence?
There is none.
Okay, and that means we have come to the end of our meeting. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion, we adjourn. I don't have a blanket on, but.
Jim's not here to second, I'll second.
All in favor, say aye. I
got about 4 hours up here on the roof, so I'm gonna let y'all go.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Happy holidays, Jeremy.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy everything.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you for a good meeting.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Be safe.
Have a good night.